Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Download by R.E. Carr, narrated by Andrea Ems. The Download's project began officially on August 18, 2002, when agents Diamante and Rubine were sent to execute damage control after a security leak in the Back Bay neighborhood of Boston, Massachusetts. Although the situation was believed to be contained, the subsequent transmissions betrayed the truth. Excerpt from Supervising Agent Jeffrey Saffer, September 25, 2002. As I stated in the official report, there is no evidence that these transmissions pose a real and immediate threat to the security of our nation and our planet. However, there is merit in repeated playback to determine if any of this technology can be used for defense, or to see if the test subjects can replicate the contact scenario. Excerpt from Field Agent William Rubine, October 29, 2002. My only concern is for the test subject. Excerpt from Agent Trainee Sarah Opal, May 15, 2004. Overtures. Transmission initiated. Skipping to 010101, Track 1, Overtures.
No one mind the ginger in the corner, Jen McDonald muttered as an elbow rammed into the back of her skull. She scooched her chair closer to the table until her ribs pressed into the formica and the tip of her braid dipped into the remains of her soup. She sighed as bits of plaster dandruff ruined the last few noodles. Her chair jostled again as a fresh pack of students shoved their way to the counter. None of this will matter tomorrow, Jen sighed. She flipped over the envelope marked McDonald, final check, in slanted chicken scratch, and used her now superfluous chopstick as a letter opener. Her face fell when she saw the paltry amount. She shuffled past the cable bill, the phone bill, and a past-due notice from Columbia House to the final gem in her pile, a shining white envelope emblazoned with the Boston University seal. We are writing to inform you that your application has been denied. She set the letter on top of her bills and slumped into her seat. Her gaze slipped to the other pile she had retrieved from the mailbox, a box marked Fragile, an MIT Alumni Association letter, and a pile of designer clothing catalogs. Not a single bill graced her roommate's post that day. The woman at the counter shot the stink eye to Jen as more customers clamored for ramen. Jen rolled her eyes and shoved both piles into her backpack. She cringed when the box made a clinking sound as it hit her discman. She dumped the remnants of her meal and pouted at the sight of a buried piece of chicken now languishing in the trash. Her stomach growled in protest as she shoved her dishes into the bin and battled her way out of the noodle shop. She then looped immediately into the vestibule of her Alston apartment building. She hadn't made it two steps into the hall when the door to apartment 1A swung open and a stout lump of a woman stepped into Jen's path. You, 2B, she snapped, hands on her hips. Jen took a deep breath. Mrs. Bukowski, she said, you need to get your mail, and you have too many computers plugged in. It's causing brownouts. I got a complaint from 2A that you were too loud, too. I got the mail already, before dinner. Mrs. Bukowski kicked a box next to her door. Jen squinted to read the name Sarah Jorgensen on the label. The woman from 1A kicked it again. Hey, Jen snapped. It's more computers, isn't it? Mrs. Bukowski barked. If you knock out the power while I'm watching Days of Our Lives again, I raise the rent. Jen bit her tongue and shifted her bag straps so that she could wrap her arms around the box. Just as she regained her balance and took a step toward the stairs, her landlady started a fresh barrage. Which one of you is in trouble? Mrs. Bukowski asked. Excuse me? Jen asked over the box. There were some men in suits poking around the building. You know, men in black. Is your roommate a hacker? I don't think you'd be smart enough. I should get upstairs, Jen said. Jen's eyes started watering as she sniffed the smoke coming out of 1B, mixed with the exhaust from the restaurant below. Don't you be loud! I'll talk to Sarah about the noise, Jen muttered. She just kept walking. Her boot caught on a chipped tile as she rounded the landing. She crashed into the wall, causing a terrible bang and letting out a yelp.
I said, don't you be loud, Mrs. Bukowski screamed from downstairs at a volume that could wake the dead.
Jen fumbled and stumbled inside. The stereo in the living room played a classical piece, while the television showed some sappy talk show. And she wonders why the utility bill is so high, Jen muttered, as she dumped the box on their coffee table and sent her pile of WANADs sprawling on the floor. As she picked them up, she took note of how very few she had circled.
Is that you, Jen?
Yeah, Jen sighed, as she yanked out her roommate's mail and dumped it on the box. The lights flickered the moment she pulled Sarah's other package out of her backpack.
Were you expecting more packages?
Jen asked, as she eyed the growing tower of open boxes next to the couch.
No. Did I get one? Sarah asked.
Jen rolled her eyes. She could hear faint voices coming from Sarah's room, mixed with an occasional buzz. She turned off the stereo and flipped the channel to the Sox game. The light flashed on the answering machine. Sarah poked her head around the corner and waved. Jen raised a brow as she saw her roommate in nothing more than a bra, panties, and a pair of safety goggles over her spectacles.
You're... Sorry, static electricity is the devil, so we...
We? Jen interrupted. A second figure in underwear and safety glasses peeked from the hallway. Jen cocked her head at the sculpted tanned chest and shaggy blonde hair.
Heyo,
the stranger said cheerfully. Didn't mean to interrupt, Jen said awkwardly, as she scooped up the box and schlepped it over to the sweaty, nearly naked couple.
Well, you know, a raid array doesn't assemble itself, Sarah said.
Sarah looked back and forth between her blushing roommate and her buff companion.
Will, why don't you open up the new arrivals? Oh, where are my manners? Will, this is my roomie and bestest buddy, Jen. Jen, this is Will from my thesis group. He's helping me screw tonight.
You poor thing, Jen sighed as she handed over the box to the beefcake. I can just get a shower and clear out tonight if, you're gonna be busy.
Well, we're gonna get pretty loud in a bit. I finally overclocked the main processor, Sarah said.
She continued to rattle off the specs to all the machines she planned on completing that night, while Jen ogled Will's equally impressive backside. Jen tuned back in as Sarah plopped her hands on her hips.
Earth to McDonald, aren't you excited?
Yeah, sure, Jen said a little too quickly.
So when do you stop back up?
Huh?
Weren't you supposed to get your financial aid letters and stuff this week? She asked. The summer semester is starting any time now, isn't it?
Well, that would require me to actually get accepted, Jen said softly. I guess there isn't room enough for a solid C student in a major that won't create lucrative future alumni.
Oh, puddin', Sarah said, her eyes wobbling behind double lenses.
Sarah disregarded Jen's filthy work clothes and tackled her with a ferocious hug.
Well, they're just stupid. You're going to discover some lost city one day and make them rue the day they ever let you slip by.
I don't think it works that way, but it's appreciated, Jen sighed as she squeezed her friend. She winced as she saw a growing layer of plaster dust on the hardwood floors.
Yeah, and I got laid off today, too. I can totally send Will home and get us a couple 40s, Sarah offered, unless you've got plans with Rick tonight.
Jen smacked her forehead and rushed over to the machine.
I was supposed to call, she said as she hit play.
You have 3 new messages. Sarah, your MIT shenanigans are scaring the neighbors.
That, or you're attracting the attention of the FBI,
Jen said, as the first message turned out to be a hang-up.
Oh? Sarah asked innocently. It's not my fault that the wiring in this building is woefully inadequate and our neighbors run their AC when it's only 80 outside. Jen, it's Mom. I'm a little short this month. Do you think you can loan me $100 till payday? Give me a call, sweetie.
Beep! Mrs. Bukowski said you were a little loud, that's all. Jen trailed off as a husky male voice echoed out of their tiny brown box.
Jenny. Sorry I have to bail tonight, but something's come up. You know, I don't know how to say this, but I think it's not going to work out. So, you know, let's be friends and stuff.
Jen slumped onto the sofa, plaster dust and all. Sarah shuffled awkwardly. Jen gulped a few times and wiped her eyes. She let out a sad little laugh. "Well, why ruin a good day?" she asked as she blinked furiously. "I'll send Will home." Jen shook her head furiously. "Nah, I'm gonna get a shower and then watch the socks loose, so don't..." "Jenny." Jen took a deep breath and waved away her clingy roommate. She pushed up to her feet and pulled her filthy t-shirt away from her sweaty chest. "Seriously, I need stew time. It's not like anything's going to change, so why ruin your night too, okay?" Jen sighed. "Are you sure?" Sarah asked. Her pigtails seemed to slump along with her shoulders. "You just have to tell me one thing," Jen said. "Anything? So, is it really a terrible night for static electricity, or is it because your geeky buddy looks like Patrick Swayze?" Jen asked with a little wink. "Bit of both," Sarah confessed. "I'm not as tall and thin as you, girlfriend. I need every opportunity I can get." "Well, fat lot of good it's doing me," Jen sighed. "You know, one day, I'm gonna just try and figure out all the crazy shit you're doing, because you have a free ride to MIT, and Bodhi in your bedroom, and I've got something between Jack and shit to show for myself right now." "Don't give me that look." "Yeah, that look, Sarah. Just let me stew and shower. Yeah, really need that shower." Jen dusted off the sofa and headed for the hallway. She could see her curvy little roommate bounding back into the thick of the disaster area, also known as her room. Jen picked up the pace as she heard giggles and boxes being ripped open with abandon. She stripped off her clothes the second she shut the bathroom door. She wrenched the shower faucet all the way around, then stared in horror at her puffy eyes and the ghoulish layer of dust covering her from head to toe. Somehow, dirt had wormed its way into every crevice of her body. "You could have taken that office job, but no," she chided her reflection. She continued to analyze her new boo-boos and freckles until the steam misted over the mirror. The magic moment she finally slipped into the stream of water, however, the pipes shuddered and the lights flickered. Jen yelped as she was suddenly left in wet, utter darkness. A second later, her gloriously steamy shower turned into a glacial stream. "There is no one in this universe having a worse day than I am," she cried. Skipping to 010201, Track 1, Overtures.
"No, no, no, no,"
Kay Zonfos growled as he saw the angle of the sun through the trees. He struggled to tie his sandals with his hands wrapped in bandages from fingertips to elbow. He gave up after the second failed attempt and left his gray feet bare as he scrambled out the window. He landed on a branch, scowling as the bark cut into his heel. Kay crouched and steadied himself as the wind whipped through the tree line. From his vantage point in the palace tree, he could see the entire breadth of the Grakow Plateau. He surveyed Grakow City, the city hidden within hollow trunks and tucked under the branches of the holy forest. The wind changed. He sniffed as best he could under the fabric that covered his face, leaving only his flickering alien blue eyes visible. Drums echoed far below. Kay growled again. He then scrambled on all fours along the length of the branch, and would have leapt gracefully off the tip of it if the gauze on his hands hadn't snagged on a bit of bark. He ended up sprawling into a tangle of branches. He crashed down through layers of greenery until he landed in an undignified lump in a puddle. One sniff of the liquid started him gagging. "Cat-like grace," a passerby snorted. He held his breath and scrambled to his feet. The drums grew louder as he encountered a crowd of Grakow citizens gathering around a shaman dressed in all brown. "On the great day of first sundering, when man was torn from his sacred garden, those holy lands without the blood moon, the god of creation offered himself as a sacrifice so that man could live in another place. A place of pain, but of great hope. Man would have to prove that it could stand alone, that it could be holy and pure and free of corruption.
Once the suffering of the Blood Moon had wiped clean the sins of man, the God of creation offered one final test to his people. He would give the last of his power, the Holy Seraphan, and she will join with a chosen warrior of man, and together they will break the seals that bound God and usher in a new era for the one true tribe, the shaman chanted. Kay lowered his gaze as the crowd began to repeat the prayer. He tried his best to skirt around the faithful, but he then ran into a pair of brutes with streaky brown and ginger hair.
Well, what do we have here, brother?
The first of the tiger's guard asked.
It looks to me like the mongrel is in town today, the other growled. You are supposed to stay away, half-breed. You will scare away the spirits on this holy night.
Kay kept his face lowered and gritted his teeth.
Thank you so much for the concern, but if you have issue with my being here on the summoning night, take it up with my father,
he said, in as low and even a voice he could muster.
We will take it up with your brother, half-breed.
The other brother snarled. He wrinkled his nose.
By the lost god, you smell worse than usual.
Well, it is a special occasion, Kay said before giving a bow.
Now, if you would excuse me.
He will be the death of the tribe,
one of the throng muttered. The tiger's guard twins nodded in agreement. Kay merely bowed again and took his leave. But he did manage to wipe the filth off his chest with the twins' cloaks as he shuffled away. He slipped around the market stalls and thickets, darting around the edges of the crowds with ease. He had just set his eyes on the gnarled mass of roots that marked the temple tree complex when a voice cried,
Lord Kay!
Kay froze. He sniffed the air and immediately rushed to straighten his bandages and tunic. As he was smoothing his hair, he heard a gasp.
You really did it,
the young woman said when she saw his hacked-off white hair fluttering around his cowl.
That means that tomorrow...
Winua,
Kay whispered.
How did you...
I always find you, Lord Kay,
she said as he finally faced her. She smiled under her wild pile of blonde curls, but her expression fell as soon as she saw the rope of white hair mixed with red beads around Kay's neck. Kay lowered his gaze.
I have to do something, Winua,
he said softly.
I know, my lord, she said, nodding. You are doing your best to appease your spirit guide. It's my own weakness.
Kay silenced her by taking her hand. She didn't flinch at his black claws or the fur peeking between the layers of gauze. She did, however, glance up to the trees.
Believe me, Winua, you need not worry about tarnishing any reputation I have left,
he choked out.
Maybe I was worried about mine, she teased.
Well, there is that, Kay said.
They stood in silence for a while.
May I at least walk you the rest of the way to the temple, my lord? She finally asked.
Kay now looked up. He glared back at the eyes staring through the canopy. He released Winnowa's hand and put a respectable few paces between them.
Of course,
he said. The hairs on the back of his neck stood up as he stared at a different section of the foliage.
My lord?
Winnowa asked.
Do you ever have the feeling that you are being watched?
He asked. He rubbed the back of his hand.
The gods?
Kay shook his head violently. He motioned toward the temple, and the pair began walking. Only once they were completely out in the open, in the barren ring that surrounded the single largest tree in all of Grakow, did Kay dare to speak again.
I felt like I was watched last night, even when I was sleeping, Winua. I do not know what happened, but someone, no, something, was there when I awoke,
Kay said quickly.
I can feel it watching me even now, and... as shameful as it is to say, I am frightened.
Lord Kay.
Everything is wrong, he hissed. Please do not ask me to explain it any further, but I can feel eyes everywhere. Perhaps we are being spied upon.
Or perhaps it is merely the spirits watching us more closely, young Zanfos, a scratchy voice interjected. After all, it is the day of the summoning.
Both Kay and Winnowa turned and immediately bowed deeply to a hunched form covered in bison pelts. The old man cackled, showing off the yellowed remains of his teeth. The younger man in black silk robes steadied the wizened visitor.
Master Sotokare, Kay said.
You are late, boy, the old man sighed. He sniffed the air. Thank the lost god that the first rite you must endure is a ritual bath. Grandson, would you mind attending to the others? I have a feeling that young Zanfos is going to be quite the handful today.
Winnowa took a few steps back.
I should go.
Master Sotokare laughed. He poked at Kay with his gnarled staff and gave a wink.
You had better not dare leave without some words to your woman, boy, the old shaman warned. He then turned to his counterpart in black. Sotaka, why are you still here?
The younger shaman nodded to Kay.
I will see you at the ceremony, my friend. Try not to make too much of a mess of things,
Sotaka sighed. He then gave a wink to Winnowa.
Do not worry, Win. We will keep him out of as much trouble as we can.
Thank you, she said, keeping her head bowed. Great shaman, I know I have no right to ask.
The old man bopped her bottom with his cane. She bit her tongue and struggled to fight back a reply as her cheeks flushed pink. The old man then clocked Kay again before wandering toward one of the roots.
You two have until an old man can finish a piss, he called back to them. Make it count.
Kay tugged at his mask so that she could see a bit of his face. She took a timid step forward. Mercifully, the breeze kept them upwind from the shaman. Winnowa pushed the hair out of her eyes as she struggled for words.
Tonight, after the summoning, I am letting go of this human skin until I can find a way to appease my spirit, Kay said. We both know how rarely the spirits listen anymore, but I have to try, Winnowa. I have to—
Lord Kay, you don't have to do this. The deep forest is dangerous. You could be killed.
I could be killed by an assassin while sleeping in my bed, he countered.
He took her hand. This time she didn't pull away.
Winnowa, my totem is a hunter. I cannot appease it by hiding like a rabbit. It is the only chance we will ever have of—
We promised not to talk about what could have been, remember? She asked. The laws are clear. As long as you are cursed, then we can't be together. But that doesn't mean that you should throw your life away, Lord Kay.
Winnowa, I have to do something, he said slowly. I know that it is dangerous, and I do not ask that you wait for me. I want you to find happiness.
I am happy to be your dear friend, Lord Kay, she said.
She straightened his cowl and brushed off his arm. Her fingertips lingered on his shoulder.
It has always been enough for me to be your friend. Your family took me in. I owe them everything, and ask for nothing more than what I already have.
Kay leaned closer and whispered,
You are my dear friend, Winnowa. Maybe I have driven myself mad with false hope, but tonight, as soon as the summoning is over, Master Sotokare is cutting my last braid. I will let go this pretense to follow my spirit and pray—
You're terrible at praying, she interjected, as a tear slipped down her cheek. But I will pray tonight. I will pray to the lost god.
She trailed off as she saw the shaman lumbering their way. She stepped back and bowed her head.
Tonight is the holiest of nights. I shall pray for the lost god's return, and for the safety of us all, she said quickly, before turning and running toward the tree line.
Kay reached toward her, but remained frozen in place.
She is right, you know, Sotokare said.
Kay closed his eyes and dropped his arm. He then gave a sad laugh.
Master, we prayed yesterday, and we will pray tomorrow. Tonight is no different, Kay spat.
But it is the summoning, my boy, Sorakare said. The summoning has not succeeded in 5,000 seasons. Perhaps it keeps failing because we save all our faith for one night and forget ourselves for the rest of them, he growled. Perhaps it keeps failing because we rely on dreams and myth and do not focus on following the path of saving ourselves.
Sorakare burst into a hearty laugh right before clocking Kay with his cane again. Kay remained unamused.
Master, you laugh now, but why have me in some mockery of a ritual? You know very well what I believe. My father and brother know the truth as well. I am a half-blood mutt who feels that we should spend less time praying and more time building our defenses. The Lost God is exactly what it sounds like, a lost cause.
My dear boy, that is precisely why you are here, the shaman said with a laugh. Now come, there is work for you to do.
Master, are you even listening?
The old shaman straightened his back and squared his shoulders. While he stood nearly a head shorter than his young companion, his stare made Kay shrink. His hooded, heavy brow furrowed, and his dark eyes turned black.
Boy, you asked to leave the tribe tonight, to appease your leopard spirit and to fight your curse, did you not? He asked, his voice low and serious. Kay nodded. Then you must do your duty by this tribe tonight, Sorakare commanded. You must be a part of the tribe once, so that there is any power in your leaving it. Now, cease your kittenish mewling and let us get you cleaned up.
Skipping to 010102, Track 1, Overtures.
You have got to be kidding me, Jen sighed as she pulled out the empty six-pack jacket left in the fridge.
She settled for the remnants of cola in a 2-liter and snagged some stale chips from the counter. The lights flickered as she padded back into the living room. She glanced over a stack of her National Geographic magazines and picked up one on the Maya, rather than the globe, splayed on the coffee table. She hadn't made it past the table of contents when a strange buzz came from the hall. The hairs on Jen's neck stood on end. She glanced over at the window and shuddered. Something shifted in the window as the lights flickered again.
Jesus Christ, Jen sighed as she tossed her magazine to the sofa.
She took a deep breath before wandering toward the hall. Thunder echoed from over the Charles River.
Hey, Sarah, she said as she knocked.
Blue light glowed under Sarah's door. The lights flickered again. Jen pounded on the door and yelled,
Jorgensen, Mrs. Bukowski will have our heads if we cause another power outage. Sarah! Sarah?
The door creaked open, and Jen's jaw dropped. Both Will and Sarah stared blankly at a trio of monitors balanced on the desk. Open carcasses of at least a dozen computers littered the floor, with cables snaking from circuit board to circuit board.
Hey, that's my fan! And my Nintendo! Jen said, as she surveyed the carnage. I needed a 64-bit processor, but I can put it back together, Sarah said, remaining focused on the star patterns on the first monitor. I managed to string together 500 gigs worth of hard drives, but the accessing speed is tanked because of the 128 barrier. Sarah, Jen snapped. What the hell?
A whiff of smoke entered Jen's lungs. She raised a brow at a little brown rock tucked into a cradle in the middle of all the machines. A tangle of exposed wiring made the nest it rested upon. Jen's eyes widened when she saw a spark.
I decided to take our project home, Sarah confessed. It's just an extension of SETI.
Sarah, there is a rock hooked up to your computer and it's making sparks, Jen said. This is crazy, even by your special MIT scale.
Sarah pulled out a packet of arcane-looking notes.
I'm pretty sure the rock is just a prank, but come on, we had to try it, she said.
The lights flickered, faster this time. Sarah then turned back to the dazed surfer in the room.
Earth to Will, did you hook up that UPS?
Sarah,
Jen barked as another round of sparks flew. The girl in underwear and goggles tapped a few keys, and the screen changed. She smiled blandly at Jen.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?